Good morning, everybody. I will continue talking about winter canola. Basically, my focus here is water use patterns and water use efficiency of winter canola in relation to winter wheat. And before I get into that, I would like to acknowledge my co-authors. Dr. Sultan Benia is an assistant scientist with me, and my Mike Stam, of course, he is the collaborator, and also he leads the funding. And Wahbi Ahmad was a visiting scientist from Egypt, and Dr. Umesh was a postdoc, and Dr. Ald also collaborated with another crop. Basically, this is my effort to get another winter crop in for the region, because that early spring is the most vulnerable period in our area. I will just show it during my talk. Clovis, New Mexico. Probably most of you don't know, so I will introduce where I am located, what are the challenges I am facing, and then why I need an alternative crop. That also I will present, and then what I learned from this project on winter canola versus winter wheat water use trial, and then I will summarize my talk. Basically, this is the annual precipitation map of the United States, and as you move from east to west, our rainfall reduces, and I'm located here where we get about 15 to 20 inches of annual rainfall. And this Clovis is on the edge of Ogallala Aquifer, considered the largest underground lake in the world. So we want to see the development of this Ogallala Aquifer. This is our research center, and this is how you see it from a Google Earth map. It's the area and the underground water use is extensively developed. This picture was taken probably 3 or 4 years back, and if I go back to the Google Earth now and try to take, you don't see so many green circles. They are going down pretty fast. And if you look at the water levels in our wells, just two wells I'm showing here, in 30 to 50 years, the water depths have gone down 200 feet. And as a result, of course, in New Mexico, we are not left with a lot of water, so there is no restriction. But Texas, our neighboring state, first time they are trying to force a restriction on how much water the farmer can pump. We do get rainfall once in a while. This is basically a rain. On average, we get about 17 inches of rainfall. But even if you look at the normal rainfall year, distribution is awful. And the last few years is so dry. And finally, we started good this year. And then we get a rain. So everything is gone. Means all our this was a graduate student project on safflower. It was mowed to ground. I had to replant it. This is a winter wheat, winter canola, another project, not this one. And we couldn't harvest winter wheat. But canola surprisingly survived, and it produced about 60% yield. That is what a selling point for me means. We want diversity. I won't say canola will survive all the time. If it is a little bit earlier or a little bit late, it would have been gone. But having a diversity in the system will help us. And this is our pivot anyway. So, and already a similar picture has been shown. So we were dust bowl area, and we thought getting irrigation facility will solve all the problem and we will be out of it. But with declining irrigation and uncertain rainfall, we are getting back into the same situation again. And as a result of it, anything we try to plant in spring or any alternative crops, it is prone for sand blasting, and cotton is a major crop in that area, but quite often replanting of cotton is necessary in that area. And recently some of the USDA research has shown that till the canopy closes, because of our windy condition, we lose more than 50% of our irrigation water by evaporation, through evaporation in that area. So that is we are losing our water. Water is precious, and we are wasting our water through evaporation. So we want something to cover that part of the year. I will just show a graph of our windy condition. As a result of this, if you look at this is again US soil and water erosion map. Each dot represents 100,000 tons of soil loss per year. And this is the area I am working. So we have wind erosion as well as water erosion in that area. So we need to protect our resources as well as produce something economical. This is the annual wind speed in Clovis. Basically, this red line is the threshold for saltation. So anything above that will lead to soil erosion. And if you look at this year, this early in the spring, that is the most prone part of the year. And only crop that we have or we can grow is winter wheat. And it's not making any money for the farmers. So as a result, we need something there that can help us protect our soil and also contribute something for a farmer's pocket. And that wind makes us sometimes famous too. So this is the tumbleweed this year, and it made it to national news, and some of the researchers in our university got call from Europe also to check on this. The multiple stress, this is just a month of weather condition last year. Actually, I had invited Mike Stamp for a few days on this day. And right, canola was growing pretty good, and it was flowering, and we had a freeze on April 10th or so. So Mike came there, and we had a really cold field day. Means there were farmers showing a lot of interest, and we had a good field day. They were asking a lot of questions to Mike. But right next day was an extreme windy day. And that was followed by two more frost, killing frost, and a heat stress, and another frost. This is in 1 month. Surprisingly, canola rebounds, and resilient canola. It produced the average of 50 cultivars produced 2,700 pounds per acre yield. Pretty happy with that. Where winter wheat I couldn't harvest, it was gone. This is another picture that shows how canola bounces back in our area. Winter survival, it's not an issue in Clovis. Probably we are not that cold. I should not say next slide will show the other story, but the spring, late spring frost is a big issue. That is what, but many times it comes back and it delays the crop a little bit, and we have to give some more irrigation. So, but that resiliency really helps, and it protects our soil. I told that we are warmer, so the winter survival is not an issue. But I took this picture December of 2013, I use this one with these future challenges because everybody talks about the global climate change, that, this, and so this is just a picture that shows that happened. I moved from Canada. I ran away from the Canadian cold to New Mexico, thinking New Mexico is warmer. When I took this picture, we were cooler than Chicago. Chicago was cooler than Winnipeg, from where I came. So as a result, farmer was irrigating his alfalfa and it froze. Our winter canola actually grows really good if we plant around mid-September. We get a really good winter growth. And Mike mentioned about the dual purpose need in that area. We have a lot of cattle, so we want to feed this forage. And if you look this one, winter canola is basically, I need to hurry up here, winter wheat, it stays green. On the other hand, winter canola, whatever the forage it produces, or the green leaf it produces before the freeze, it is killed. Only the growing tip is alive. And my interest here is, can we use this one for forage? At the same time, since it is a dormant, will it save any moisture during that time? That is basically the background. And this our farm manager, he always uses his push probe and says that in spite of those big leaves, canola is not using too much moisture. And on the other hand, winter canola is using moisture. That is his always claim. So we wanted to see how we can manage, or how we can check this one. And so we started this project, ran for 3 years with these six different irrigation treatments. This was a split plot design, and the irrigation was we used surface drip to provide the irrigation. That one winter wheat and two canola and one safflower was the crops that we used. And this is the aerial shot of that trial. Had four replications. And looking at the results, basically this is the soil moisture content beginning of the season in green and end of the season in brown. And these are the different treatments, and you can see this is with the winter canola and how it compares with the winter wheat. So if you look, when there is enough irrigation, the canola doesn't use the water from depth. But on the when there is a stress, it uses most of the soil moisture. There is no difference. Out of 3 years, we don't get the clear picture in all the years, but it gives a similar indication in all the years. And if you look at the seasonal pattern of that that water use, you can see that planting to regrowth, there is a big difference. Means that wheat keeps growing in the winter, that makes this difference, I think. And then during the regrowth to flowering, the difference is pretty minimal. And then you also see some difference during the maturity stage. What about the water use efficiency, water use and yield relations? If you look for the biomass, it's almost the same. Sorry, I'm just. But when it comes to yield, I couldn't fit a single regression. That is because of our late spring frost. That changes the. There is a strong relation within a year, but they keep fluctuating because of that the late spring damage. Some of the farmers are now growing that one, and even in a dryland rainfed crop, it is doing pretty good in our area. Yeah, with this, basically there is a difference in water use pattern. Means definitely winter canola uses differently compared to winter wheat. Winter canola leaves some moisture at lower depth. Will it contribute? Is it the reason contributing for rotational benefit in some areas and some years? We have to check that one. With this, I thank, and the funding for this one is USDA NIFA Alternative Crops Program. And I also thank some of the people who helped me in conducting this trial. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.